Hey, welcome back. Today I want to talk about the danger of romanticizing holiness. I'd like to share with you a clip from a talk that I gave at a parish mission, and then I'm going to offer some thoughts at the end of it.
Well, here's the question. Could there be more to your faith experience than what you've experienced up to this point in your life? See, I know you're faithful. That's why you're here. I know that your faith is alive to some degree, but just could there be more? And I have no doubt that you have had wonderful experiences of God up to this point in your life. Very important question, could there be more? You know, a number of years ago, I had this fish tank, and it had 28 fish in it. And then I went away. I went on a speaking tour in Ireland, and I came back, and all my fish were dead except for one. And I thought, this one fish, you know, when is it going to die? And you know what I did with this fish? I just kept on feeding it. And that fish lived for another 7 long years. In fact, every day for that fish was the same thing. I would get up in the morning, I would go over to the fish tank, I would open up, get the fish flakes, tap, 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 came up, nibble, nibble, nibble. It would go down and go around into the tank with 30 gallons of water. The next day, it was the same thing. Went over to that fish tank, flipped it up, got the fish flakes, tap, 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 up, nibble, 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 down, around and around, 30 gallons of water. Pretty boring existence. Imagine if I would take that fish, put it into a fish bowl, and then jump on a plane and fly down to a beautiful Caribbean island. And then step off the shore and wade into the water onto a coral reef. And take this fish, and I would not dump it into the ocean. No, I would submerge the bowl into the water to see what would happen next. Would it not be sad if all that fish did was go around and around and around in circles in half a liter of water? All it would need to do is look up a little higher, swim out a little further, flap those fins a little bit harder, and it would go from half a liter of water to the seemingly infinite ocean of blue that goes all the way around the world. You see, my friends, the fish wasn't made for the fish bowl. And you are not made for this world. You're made for God.
Now, isn't that a beautiful image? Going from the fishbowl into that infinite ocean of blue that goes all the way around the world. Here's the question. How do we do that? How do we go from the fishbowl into that ocean? Well, it does not happen without much toil and trouble. And so we can hear the analogy and we can romanticize it and we can get excited about holiness. But being excited about holiness and living for Jesus is very different than actually living for Jesus. You know, Jesus, I think, has many fans, but he has few friends. And so as a fan, sometimes we jump on that bandwagon and we get excited about the rosary. We get excited about going to mass. We get excited about the disciplines of the church. But really, that's where it all remains. It just remains at the excitement, emotional level. We don't like the discipline part because it requires dying to self. But in order to be a friend of Jesus, we have to let go of the emotions that are running our life. Jesus wants friends. He doesn't want fans. Now, if you look at this analogy of the fish going from the fish bowl into the ocean, let's take it another step further. Wouldn't it be kind of interesting if that fish swam out and then didn't like it and turned around and went back in that fish bowl, submerged in the ocean? Why would a fish do that? Well, maybe because it's easier. There's no currents in the fish bowl. There's a lot of currents in the ocean. In the ocean, there's predators. In the fishbowl, it's safe. The ocean is unfamiliar. It's pretty predictable in the fishbowl. And I think we do that in the spiritual life. Jesus, I want to live for you. We have all these great intentions. We swim out towards the ocean. And all of a sudden, we encounter the currents. The currents of the world, the flesh, and the devil that take great discipline and fortitude to be able to withstand and to swim against the currents. And then we end up drifting back into what's familiar. You know, out in the the ocean, it doesn't feel safe. And sometimes living for Christ doesn't feel safe because you have to take a stand against all the incredible disorders that are within the world, the craziness. You know, you might lose your reputation, for example, if you're in a secular workplace and you believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. And so to stand against that is sometimes not safe because your reputation maybe is at stake, or your job. You know, to act according to your conscience and say, hey, I don't want to get the vaccine. Because your conscience is saying something. And so what happens? Well, you just lost everything. You lost your job, you lost your savings, you lost your house. I know people who are in that situation. And so sometimes it's not safe to live according to one's conscience in this world. And so we drift back into the fishbowl. You know, but what about the fishbowl, though? If the fish stays within the fishbowl, it's never going to grow to its genetically potential size. People say that what determines the size of the fish is the environment that it's in. And so if the fish is in a bad environment, a small little fishbowl, it's never going to grow to the size that its genetics are programmed for it to grow to. No, I'm not a fish expert, so I can't say for sure if that's true for fish, but it's true for people. We need to be in an environment that allows for spiritual growth. And where does that happen? It happens in a parish. Saints don't come out of vacuums. They come out of communities. And this is always going to be true. If you look at the history of the church and the history of great saints, they often come in pairs. You examine the lives of the saints and you'll see that they're surrounded by other blesseds or venerables or other saints. They knew each other. So sainthood is found in a school. Many fish swim in schools. We need a school of holiness. And that school is found in a community, in a parish. Take, for example, St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross. They're friends. We have St. Francis and St. Clair, St. Felicity and St. Perpetua, St. Benedict and St. Scholastica, St. Cosmas and St. Damian, St. Ignatius of Loyola and St. Francis Xavier. They were college roommates, by the way. Well, how about Mary and St. Joseph? Talk about a powerhouse Catholic couple. The point is, we need to be in an environment that allows us to grow in holiness. So we need each other. A good parish is so key. And it's so sad when our parishes aren't in an environment that are conducive to spiritual growth. Now, what I'm saying is it needs to be beyond simply plugging into Mass. Hopefully, we're in a parish where there's activities for the family, where other families can connect, because relationships are based upon values and experiences. Shared values, shared experiences. An example from our life, our parish has a family fun day once a year. So there's a bouncy castle, there's free food, there's games for the kids. And what happens? The kids are having fun, they're getting to know each other, parents are connecting. I just feel so blessed to have that experience. I realize not everyone does, but if you're in a parish, maybe you can create that. We need to connect with each other. Holiness is not found in a vacuum. It's found in community, connecting. Now that fish in the fishbowl also its growth is stunted because maybe it's got bad food. You know, a fish in a fishbowl gets fish flakes every day of its life. It's not a well-balanced diet, in other words. And friends, to grow into spiritual life, we need a well-balanced diet. And the Catholic Church, in fact, offers us the fullness of that, the fullness of salvation. We need the sacraments. They're not an option. I know you know this. This is just a reminder, but talk about the Eucharist. The body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. It's very true as Catholics that we become what we eat, or at least we should. That we should become another Christ. And that then we become food for the world. That we give ourselves away. We have the sacrament of confession. That when our life isn't perfect, and we do fall, and it will happen, that we are patient with ourselves and we go and seek God's mercy. And we hope that we hear a great teaching and preaching from the pulpit that is rooted in 2,000 years of tradition, rooted in the teaching magisterium of the church. And that we don't get opinions. There's a difference, isn't there? I give my opinion. But this is a YouTube channel. This is what's supposed to happen. So why else is this fish's growth stunted within the fishbowl? Because of the water quality. Its whole surroundings, you know, it just doesn't compare to the real stuff out in the ocean. And you can change the water, but it's not the same as the ocean. For us, what's the environment? It's home. It's the domestic church. It's where we live our life. And so we need to create a home that's conducive for spiritual growth. So what does that look like? Well, within the walls of our home, we have sacramentals. We have statues of Jesus, Mary. We have pictures of the saints to remind us of heaven, to remind us of the truth. We have times of prayer in our home. We pray in the morning. We pray at meals. We pray in the evening. We say our rosary as a family. We almost get it every day, and I'm really grateful for that. It's within the home that we strive to grow in virtue and love. You know, I thought I was a nice guy until I had kids. But this is what other people give the opportunity for, to grow in virtue. It's very easy to be patient when you have no one to wait upon. Very easy to be generous when you have no one to give to. Excuse me. And so the home, the domestic church, needs to be an environment for spiritual growth. And in fact, that is absolutely important, or else we'll be stunted in our growth. So I think about this fish swimming from the fishbowl into the ocean, and all of a sudden it encounters what? Currents. The currents of the ocean that it has to fight against. What are these currents in our life? Well, again, the currents in our life are the world, the flesh, and the devil. The currents of the flesh, let's deal with that just for a brief moment. They can be strong. The habits in our life can be really strong, and it's hard sometimes to break a sinful habit. So I'm not here to shame you. I want to encourage you. This is what St. Francis de Sales says. The feast of purification has no octave. It should continue our whole life. We must have our mind settled on two points. One, to expect the growth of the weeds in our garden. The other, to have courage to witness their removal and to lend a hand ourselves. Hey, so we're going to have weeds in our life. And St. Francis de Sales says, have the courage to witness them being removed. That's Jesus. That's his work. But we have to lend a hand. How do we lend a hand to Jesus? We have to go to confession. We have to pray. We have to receive the Eucharist. Run to the saints. We have to try our best to live a virtuous life. If we're not going to lend a hand to Jesus, we shouldn't expect him to lend a hand to us. So, and have this disposition to say, I'm helpless against these things, helpless against these weeds, helpless against these habits of vice. And I need your help, Jesus. But I'm going to do my best, trusting that you will do a miracle and uproot this weed in my life. For self-love will not die as long as we live, and it is the origin of all those unwelcome productions. Man carries himself everywhere about with him, finds himself everywhere, and misery is attached to him as a shadow to his body. Now, isn't that an interesting image, friends? Misery is attached to you like a shadow to your body. I think his point is this. Everywhere you go, you are. So if you have the vice of impatience, impatience is going to follow you into every circumstance of your life. If you have trouble with self-control, that's going to follow you everywhere you go in your life. If you're prideful, pride is going to be in every conversation in life, in every single relationship. Sobering thought. We want to get rid of that because we can't run from our vices. They're with us. Everywhere you go, you are. But St. Francis now offers us some encouraging words. Know that the virtue of patience is that which secures us the greatest perfection. And if we must have patience with others, we must also have it with ourselves. Those who aspire to the pure love of God have more need of patience with themselves than with others. So friends, romanticizing holiness can happen. Jesus wants friends, not fans. But in order to be a friend of Jesus, we need to be patient with ourselves, because the weeds do pop up in our garden, and we must have the courage to witness their removal. And it will not happen overnight. It will take a lifetime. So have patience with yourself. Thank you for listening. Comment below. Share with me what stood out to you and why. And we'll see you very soon. God bless you.